Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Emporium. Emporium's three Chicagoland locations combine the best arcade games, craft beer, and live events. Check out emporiumchicago.com/CPC for a free drink or game tokens. I think that's everything you need to know. Check out the Nerdalogs on Patreon. I mean, we're ending the show soon, so you can rate, review, and subscribe to the show. But, like, you know, we're ending it soon. I'm not saying don't, I'm just saying... Anyways, here's the show.
Hello, folks. I am one of your three hosts, Timothy Robert Dunn. Normally, there's three of us, and there's... me, and then there's the guy who kind of sounds like a professor that we got starting like a year ago. That's Kellen. And then there's the guy who... it's weird because I think he makes the most money out of all three of us. He kind of sounds like Animal from the Muppets. That's Clayton. And he's just super high all the time. Generally nice guy, though. Neither of them are here today. It's just me who... I kind of just sound like a guy who's really into, let's say, Weezer. My guest is nodding his head. I haven't introduced him yet, so he can't respond in the affirmative. But this is a video game podcast with friends of ours from the Chicago comedy and development community. And we're starting our goodbye tour of friends that we've had on the show. And we have one that we've had a number of times on the show. Aaron Amendola, welcome. Welcome back.
Now, am I supposed to assume the identity of Kellen or Clayton?
Who do you feel like in the spectrum of personalities you're closer to? I think you're a Kellen, right?
if I had glasses, I'd be... Kellen is basically an Egon, and I always saw myself as more of a Ray Stans, but I can drift that way.
Sure, yeah.
It's also, it puts a lot of confidence in me that for this goodbye tour, two people are not here to say goodbye. You know what? I always thought it would happen this way. This is perfect.
Two people just could not put the effort in to show up.
Yeah, they didn't even leave a note.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
As a friend of the show, you know we always start the same way. That's, what are we playing? What are you playing right now?
I'm playing, I took a break from some of the bigger stuff. I was doing, Chicago is such a great indie development community.
Yeah.
And I took a break. I went to a game called Final Fantasy XV that... I guess, like, you might not be in the circles for it, but it's been making a splash.
Little indie game?
Yeah. And, you know, it didn't come out before Black Friday, so,
okay.
You know, there's not a whole lot of sales. But I've been playing and I've been playing a game called Watch Dogs 2.
How is Watch Dogs?
You know what? It's, like, it's the game we deserved.
That's
the game that
I
we should have gotten.
Yeah.
So Watch Dogs 1, the whole color palette was, like, blacks, grays, and browns, and this one is like, oh, you added color. Crazy.
Yeah, right.
It's a much more optimistic game, too. It's so much fun.
It's like the fun you could have being a hacker, yes?
Yeah, so I watched Mr. Robot season one, and I was like, oh, I want to be that guy. I should play Watch Dogs. And I played Watch Dogs again, and I was like, this is terrible. And now that I played Watch Dogs 2, I was like, I wish Mr. Robot was more fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
A little more lightheartedness in Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Isn't that what every episode of Mr. Robot needs? Just a little bit more fun.
A few more jokes?
Yeah, just a laugh track.
Right.
I want a general laugh track. If only.
Even just a laugh track episode of Mr. Robot. I think they could really shake things up a little bit.
You know, they could probably do it. They could probably get away with it.
I think so, too.
Yeah, like put it in his mind.
Yeah, he does enough of those drugs or whatever, and then...
Is that what he's doing?
He does drugs for at least... I've only watched the first few episodes.
Oh, man, that explains so much. I was drunk watching it, so I just assumed that he was, like, a weird guy. But no, if he does drugs, that makes sense.
that's cool. I'll have to check out Watch Dogs 2 because, yes, it seemed like a little GTA-ish, but like, hacker superpowers.
Mm-hmm. And it's not selling, so you can probably buy it for,
is
like,
that
10
right?
bucks. Oh, it's tanking. Yeah, it's a shame because it's... it's really a lot of fun. I think the first game just soured so many people.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
I gotta be honest, I was surprised there was enough demand for a Watch Dogs 2 after the first one.
I don't know if there was demand, but I think that the corporation of Ubisoft was like, no, we invested in this
IP.
We
put money into this.
There's four or five left. You're gonna get a season pass. There's actually a really fun mission in the game where you go to Ubisoft headquarters in San Francisco.
Wait, for real?
And you see somebody, like, you spy on somebody making an Ubisoft game, and then you leak it out to a press site that is very obviously Kotaku.
Yeah.
And you basically leak this game. So it's very tongue-in-cheek. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to get that in Assassin's Creed.
No, you're not. You might get that in Saints Row.
I forgot. The only one I could think.
Oh, sorry.
I'm also playing Steep.
What's Steep?
Exactly, right? So it's another Ubisoft game, but okay. It's a snowboarding kind of like mountain, like grab some powder simulator. Like,
okay.
Yeah, it's basically, I wanted to play SSX Tricky. I can't do that without hooking up an Xbox.
Yeah.
So I bought that, and I forgot about it because it came out the day Final Fantasy came out.
Is SSX Tricky still like the gold standard of snowboard games? Because it's not a genre that...
No,
yeah.
But I think like in our minds it is. But if you go back and play it, I guarantee you it's going to be like a try-hard game. It's not that great.
Right.
But yeah, in my mind, like the SSX Tricky game in my mind is perfect.
It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of like Twisted Metal in that you think of like... Oof. Well, what are the other great car combat games? And it's like, no, that's kind of just it.
That's it.
That's kind of the one.
Yeah. It's like you don't call it a tissue, you call it a Kleenex.
Yeah, it's not a genre. It's just that game. For myself, I've been playing, like Aaron, this little gem called Final Fantasy XV, and then...
Support your indies.
Support your indies. I was on a little road trip with my girlfriend, so I played an iOS game called Black Bar. I started that today. Black Bar is it's one of these real like indie conceptual iOS games where it's probably closer to interactive fiction than a game.
Mm-hmm.
You
one of those visual novels?
Close, yeah. Like you get this new job and it's for a government and they're censoring your letters home. So the only gameplay mechanic I've seen is like there are blacked out words by the government and you have to type in what the word is, but you don't know what it is. I don't know how many hours of that it's going to be. I assume one or two. That's about all you really get. You know, they kind of just get in there, make their political statement, and then get out. But it's fun, as far as I can see.
Yeah,
good,
why not?
Good writing.
And that's a AAA title?
Yeah, I think it costs like $80 million to make, I believe.
Yeah, so like easily a $200 price tag on
I
that download.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds, you said Black Bard?
Black Bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because at first I heard Black Bard.
Black Bard, and that's a fantasy game.
Yeah, but Black Bard, you know, I think that's pretty interesting. That reminds me a little bit of like a Papers, Please.
Yes.
Or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I download that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
they don't need our support. They're AAA.
They're rolling in that political statement money in video games.
Coming from an arts college, I can tell you making political statements pays you very well.
I know, right? Comedy, too. Oh.
We're so sad.
Aaron... We have a little. Okay, we're talking about Final Fantasy XV today.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a subtopic that I wanted to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
We have not had, and I don't want to label you. I don't like labels, Aaron.
Oh boy,
we've not had a No Man's Sky apologist on this show. Maybe proponent. Proponent is maybe a better.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily an apologist. I'm not. Yeah,
that's assuming there's stuff to apologize for.
Yeah, I mean. I will apologize that you had a bad time. I will apologize that
uh-huh.
you got overhyped.
Oh, I really did.
Yeah, you know, it was easy to.
Yeah. So, what do you like about No Man's Sky?
You know, that...
Because I heard from Kellen that you were not in the same boat as the three of us were.
Yeah, you know, that is a game that I will... like, if I've had a glass of whiskey and I just want to zone out for an hour... I'll pour myself another glass of whiskey and then just, like, feel the vibe, man.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's not a game. Like, I played Final Fantasy 15 for 6 to 7 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
I could only play No Man's Sky for maybe 45 minutes to an hour tops.
I think that's a great call because, like, I was talking to the guys about it during that episode. You know, just leaving the atmosphere of a planet is thrilling.
Yeah, but you can only do that so many times before, like,
you need
to
scrap for material.
Chasing that dragon,
you
can't get the same high. But yeah.
Have you played it since they released this crazy update?
Yeah, I played a little bit of the Foundation update, just barely, and they are very clearly trying to make it more like Minecraft, which I think is a solid play.
Okay.
They're not going to earn any goodwill back, and I mean, the game's not perfect.
I gotta say this, I didn't care for the Minecraft stuff in Fallout 4.
Talk about a game that I didn't play after the first week. Wow.
Oh. I don't, like, I guess I get the marketing idea of let's make it similar to this game, everyone, that's revolutionized everything.
Yeah.
But not every game needs base building or, you know, these sorts of resource management stuff.
Well, I mean, if Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts taught us anything, like, if you can build it, it makes the game better. Like, even, like, Gummy Ship, like, it never makes a game better. But no. Minecraft, that's, like, the heart of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. No Man's Sky doesn't suffer from it as much. It's cool to make your own base. It's at that point in the game's life cycle where you can go back to a star system and see, like, people left you messages, which is cool.
Oh.
You cannot name a place Luigi's Pleasure Palace, as I found out. I was trying to name them all dirty Super Mario names. That did not happen. I got like so many flag notices when I walked in. But yeah, if you didn't like the game at launch, you're not going to like it now. That game's going to be a $60 game in 3 years. Fine.
I feel like I'm trying to give it enough time so that I can come back and just finish the sort of like single player campaign.
Yeah.
That's all I need out of that game, really.
Yeah,
I think.
And I mean, just half hour, an hour a night, maybe one night every month for 5 years, and then you'll be fine. But yeah, it's a game that's best played sparingly.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about this road trip video game with four spiky-haired gentlemen.
Boy Band Bonanza. Oh, boy. Which one of those beautiful boys do you like most, Tim?
Let's list them. Who's your favorite of the boys?
Are you more of a Prompto? Are you more a Gladiolus? Or Gladdy to the fandom?
Oh boy, this is tough. There's stuff I like about all of those boys. I'm trying to think who's my least favorite.
I know who the least favorite is.
Noctis?
Noctis. He's the worst.
I think that was, yeah.
Noctis is the high school emo kid, and everyone else has a personality.
He's just too whiny. Yeah. And, okay. There's like a smoky mystery quality to Ignis, too, that I find interesting.
The Giles quality.
Yes.
He is Giles from Buffy.
Right.
Through and through.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for him to have like a very tortured storyline in his in his past. He gets a guitar or something. Yeah.
Gladiolus, fine. I kind of wish there was a little more depth to Gladiolus. I feel like I just haven't hit it yet, though, in the backstory.
So, in the Final Fantasy XV universe, the media
Sir,
empire...
Are we talking about Kingsglaive? Are we talking about
Brotherhood?
Okay.
Are we talking about King's Knight or Knight's Quest?
Justice
King's
Monster
Quest?
5.
No, King's Quest is different. Yeah. Oh, man, Justice Warriors 5. Let me tell you, that is a bad game. That is a bad game.
It's no Blitzball.
You know what? And it controls, it's responsive, so it can't be Blitzball. No, it's interesting. Final Fantasy XV is just this, man, started back in 2006. Mm-hmm. That was Tetsuya Nomura was directing it. And apparently he just did such a piss poor job with it. They like tore it out of his hands and gave it to Hajime Tabata, who, like, didn't do a whole lot of other, like, big mainline Final Fantasy work before this.
Yeah.
And he cobbled everything together. And I'm more impressed with, like, how they maintained it to be playable.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, it being a standalone game. I think the story of this game is more interesting than the actual story in the game.
Oh, you mean the story of how it came together?
Yeah, the whole development
I completely
style?
Agree with that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's a lot of things I just couldn't tell you what's going on in this game. It also feels like, I don't know if you felt this way.
So how many for spoiler's sake,
yeah.
How many hours have you played?
I don't know if I could say how many hours. I can tell you where I am.
Like what chapter?
I've started to get summons. Okay. So
okay.
I'm like there.
So I believe I'm right before summons.
Okay.
What level are you?
Well, I am trying to manipulate the, like, staying at the inn for $10,000 thing.
Yeah.
So I'm up to 34.
So I'm level 37.
Yes.
And I just started chapter 3.
Yeah. So are you just, like, doing all the side quests?
Doing all the hunts.
You don't sleep?
No, I do not sleep. And then I stay at the place in Golden Key, and
yeah.
I had, like, I went to Golden Key with, like, 17,000 experience.
Yeah.
Got double that and jumped up 10 levels.
Yes. It's a crazy leveling system.
It doesn't make sense.
No. But also, like, it's not a game that... I think it does a good job in the sense that there's only been a few times... There's maybe once or twice when I've died in a fight. But I've also never thought that this is, like, that easy of a game.
Sure.
It does a good job balancing combat so that, like... I don't know if I've ever really been able to tell when I'm like crazy high level against things. Like there's still an aspect of challenge whenever you're fighting.
It does not make any sense.
Yeah.
The game doesn't necessarily do a good job of illustrating and telling you what's going on or how to play.
No.
I didn't know how to make magic until like last night.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, a craft button. Well, didn't see that.
And it's like you from level 5, you can get Faraga, Blizzaga, like the high level ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense with the journey that the characters are taking.
Nope.
I've been using Thundara since, you know, I was level 20 now.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Have you, the original point I was going to make was that, I feel like there are moments where you reach a point where a cutscene takes over or something like that, and it's a clip from Kingsglaive.
Oh, yeah.
And the game is kind of going like, this is when that scene in Kingsglaive is.
Have you
and
seen Kingsglaive?
I had to go back and watch it after
that
starting the game.
Yes.
Where I was like, I kind of want to know what's going on here, but I also don't think a game should rely on like, you've seen all our ancillary material, right?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like, well, in order to understand The Hobbit, you really should read like the Silmarillion,
right,
and, like, Lord of the Rings, and also know everything about Tolkien's life. Like, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. I watched Kingsglaive because, man, I was so dumb. I was like, we're going to have a night where we watch Kingsglaive, then all of Brotherhood, and then we're going to read the...
You brought other people into this? I
could
never do that. Oh, good for you.
Oh, it was... I had no shame. Also, I got my girlfriend on this like pretty hook, line, and sinker a year ago, and I was like, if you're playing this, you're playing all of it. So look at despair in her face was pretty great. Watched everything. There's really only about 2.5 hours of material.
Yeah, I didn't. I've only watched 2/3 of Kingsglaive. I like the fights. It's a beautiful movie.
I mean, you liked Advent Children.
I did.
So you'll
did
like Kingsglaive.
Advent Children.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm hooked. As much as I want to criticize Final Fantasy all the time, like, I'm a fanboy. I really am.
Yeah, that's like the battle cry I've been hearing from everybody.
Yeah.
There's so many things that are not great about this game, but we have a new entry.
Yeah.
It is bad.
Final Fantasy's back.
Sure.
It doesn't always feel like a Final Fantasy game.
No.
No.
And for me, that's the thing that I've been wondering about is, like, 13 was technically a Final Fantasy game, but it wasn't in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
15 is a Final Fantasy game, but it's not in a lot of ways again. So what are the characteristics that make a Final Fantasy game, that brand?
Yeah.
Other than, like, taking, like, an RPG and slapping the title on it.
Right.
Because this really could be anything.
Having played 12 and 13, I understand at a certain point you got to innovate. You got to push the genre forward. The last one that felt like a Final Fantasy game to me was 10.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think 12 is bad. I just didn't connect with it. These are all feeling more gameplay-wise, though, like Kingdom Hearts than a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, and 12 had a very tumultuous development cycle, too.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be multiple games. 13 was supposed to be multiple games. 15 was the one where they said, let's not make multiple games, let's make multiple forms of media.
Uh-huh.
Which I think was the better call, and I guess they're going to have a pretty aggressive DLC cycle with this one, too.
Oh, okay. I know that this goes all the way back to 6 and 7 mostly, but, like, it's weird to me that we're in a Final Fantasy game where people have cell phones.
Yeah. So I did some research, and apparently, like, the main mission statement was making a fantasy that's based in reality.
Okay.
So they wanted to take Earth and then put magical elements into
right.
it. But it's also weird to see, like, Noctis take down an iron giant and then, like, pull out his flip phone. And then it parts of it just don't make sense.
No, like,
you have
magic,
but you don't have wireless earbuds. It's very weird.
Yeah. And there's certain things that you you let go because you're like, okay, I know what they're doing here. But, like, buying CDs from the old Final Fantasy game is like a...
it's the best part of that game. It's the best part.
But you can tell the, like, nostalgia factor that goes into, like, making just about any big franchise game nowadays. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you remember Assassin's Creed Syndicate where you would buy the MP3 player in Italy and listen to old Assassin's Creed music?
Oh, of course.
Ah, yeah. Classic. All those themes.
But that's not to say that, like, I'm having a lot of fun playing this game. Like, the hunts, I think, are very enjoyable. It is like, I like the side quests. I like the getting in your car or like, have you reached Chocobos yet?
Yes.
Chocobos are fun.
Man, you know, I'm a Prompto. I think I'm Prompto.
Yeah.
Because I'm an annoying fanboy. That's pretty much the identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that Chocobo theme.
Yeah.
And like, it annoys me, but I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Right. There's cool things about the world. I like the not going out at night thing originally annoyed me, but with Chocobos, it's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a scary part of the game.
It really is.
It's
like
scary.
When those giants come up out of the ground or whatever and stop your car, that's terrifying.
Well, there's a giant fucking spider came in front of me, and I was like, oh, I'll just go see what level it is. And it was level 56, and I was like, oh, good God. I cannot do that.
Yeah. But then I've also had battles, too, where, like, I'm fighting something 20 levels higher, and I came out okay.
Yeah.
Where I just healed myself enough or whatever.
That's why the leveling just doesn't make sense to me.
It is very strange.
A lot more of it is based on the ascension, the AP system,
the
faux sphere grid, than it is on like actual experience points.
Yeah,
and your equipment too.
What for people that are playing the game? What have you been focusing on ascension wise?
So I've been gaming the system for AP. So I put a lot of my AP
exploration.
Basically, whenever I walk around, I get IP. If I get in the car, I get IP. If I cook out, AP.
We haven't even talked about the cooking yet.
Yeah, it's so wild to me. It's cooking brought to you by Coleman Grills and camping equipment. Like the tent has the Coleman logo on it, and there's a whole side quest about cup noodles.
You're right, and it's the real logo and everything.
It's the real logo, and Ignis is like, the quest is, what's the best meat to put in cup of noodles? And then no matter what meat you choose, he says, it's perfect any way you serve it up, cup noodles.
By the way,
so weird.
Let's go wash it down with an ice-cold Pepsi.
You're right.
It's a hot day. Perhaps Pepsi will lift our spirits.
It's so weird.
It is bizarre. The cooking, for people who haven't played this game yet, smoky, weirdo, quiet guy, Ignis, who is your strategist and your valet, kind of. He goes around with...
He's your manservant, basically.
Goes around with daggers, and he's a huge... He's a chef, and he's, like, searching the world for the best recipes. And anytime you stop at, like, a diner, which, by the way, you spend so much of your time in diners in this Final Fantasy game.
People that run the diners are more knowledgeable than even the prince.
And they all have this side business going on to have you track down and kill monsters. But you stop in and you eat the food at these diners, and then Ignis, same goddamn noise happens every time where it's like a ding, and then he's like, I thought up a new recipe. And then someone gives a quip of like, well,
in the middle of battle, it's not the time.
And then you go to camp. You get a whole list of... dishes you can make with ingredients that you've scoured the land collecting. And when you make one of these dishes, you get a stat bonus for the next day. So basically, if you're going to go fight like a huge monster or something, you camp, have a meal. And
ridiculous
then...
stat bonuses.
Yes.
Like you get 800 extra hit points.
Right.
Just for eating a slice of pizza.
Yes.
It's not the way it works. From experience, it's not
cooking
the way it
is very important in this game. Which we found out.
Did you watch any of Brotherhood?
I have not done that yet. I heard some backstory stuff about Prompto used to be like kind of a loser.
He's a big fat kid. It basically made me hate Noctis more. But coming back to Ignis and cooking, his whole backstory is that he basically was Noctis's cook. And he lived in an apartment with Noctis and would come home and there'd just be garbage everywhere. Like, Noctis just was like a shitty kid. And then Ignis one day was like, I'm not going to cook for you anymore. And Noctis tries to cook, doesn't do it successfully. And Ignis says, fine, I'll come back and do it. Like, it's a
no
bad
real lesson learned.
No,
just...
it's a bad backstory. it's really stupid. So whenever I see the cooking scene, I'm like, you haven't learned a damn thing.
Yeah, right. As far as plot, Noctis is a prince?
Noctis is the prince. His father, King Regis. So the king always possesses a crystal,
yes,
which puts a giant, like, light shield wall around a city.
Right.
City of Insomnia, which sounds like the bad city name.
You wouldn't want to hang out in Insomnia.
Yeah, like 4 a.m. bars everywhere.
King has a ring that he can give other people weapons with or something?
Like, yeah. So, man, it's just so batshit weird. The ring gives the king power, but also you can't just steal the ring and put it on. You need to be found worthy.
Yes, because...
it's only like royal lineage.
The prince from another kingdom tried to put it on his finger. It burned his arm, right?
Yep. Yeah. And he just blew up. He just like turned into a skeleton. Yeah. Sure.
Noctis flees the city to marry, what's his name?
Princess Lunafreya.
Princess Lunafreya. As part of a
Nox
peace...
Nox Fleuret.
As part of a peace agreement with the Machine Army Kingdom. Can't remember
it's,
what it's called.
I think it's Niflheim.
Niflheim,
which
yes.
sounds a lot like Nibelheim,
it
which
does.
Is Final Fantasy VI.
The
and
village that burns
me.
Down.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
But you're basically trying to get your boy to his girl.
Yes.
And... there's monsters in the way.
There's monsters in the way. This army keeps messing with you. Mm-hmm. Neither
it's
of
like
us.
It's like The Hangover.
I guess it really. Yes.
Yeah.
Also, there's so many things in this game that are brand new to the series in general. Like, you start out, you are pushing a car which is broken down, and Stand By Me starts playing. A cover by Florence and the Machine.
Oh yes.
And
you
that
know,
really
does that
blew
music
my mind.
Hit. Like, does that music fit the game at all?
Okay. I wish because I looked up, like, Final Fantasy 15 music on Spotify before I started playing the game,
mm-hmm.
like, 2 days before, and I was like, this must be a mistake. A Florence and the Machine cover of Stand By Me does not belong in this game. I haven't played mm-hmm. it yet, but no, that's how they open the game with, and... it
takes guts.
I guess, in a sense, they're saying, like, hey, this isn't your normal Final Fantasy. We cover popular songs in this. I don't know. I guess they're trying to get across themes of these guys stand together. It's a road trip game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that they've come under a lot of fire for all the main characters being straight white dudes.
Yeah.
It's but weird. I don't think they're all straight.
We talking about Prompto? Ignis?
You know,
Gladiolus, that would be a choice, right?
Yeah,
there.
I mean, they're just, I think it says a lot about you, depending on who you'd ship. But yeah, they came under a lot of fire for it. It's definitely a weird choice. The original concept that Tetsuya Nomura had was Lunafreya as one of the main characters, and somebody else, I can't remember who. It might have even been her mom. You know what? Someone's going to correct you on that and say I'm an idiot. It's probably wrong. But I'm fairly certain that Lunafreya was one of the main characters.
Okay.
And Noctis was in it, but just maybe not as prominently. And it seems like Tabata really just came in and, like, cleaned house and just said, no, it's these four dudes.
It's
threw away a lot of stuff.
It's these four straight guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, good for them.
And a lot of people, a lot of the reviews I've read, anyways, have been saying, like, the game would not be as great as it is if it wasn't for, like, the connections between these characters, which I get to a certain extent. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
That's any game.
Yeah.
That's any game, really.
And what do you think? Because we've only been playing it, what, I don't know, 20
I think
hours?
I'm about 20 hours in.
Yeah.
That's a liberal guess, but yeah,
right.
20.
What isn't working for you at this point?
What isn't working is the main character. Noctis doesn't work for me at all.
Yeah.
Fucking Cindy. Oh, man.
I'm glad you brought this up.
She's the worst, right?
Because
she doesn't fit in that world. She does not fit. Like, she maybe
no one
fits
else is
in,
dressed like that.
No one else. She maybe fits in, like, Final Fantasy X, or definitely X-2.
Oh, X-2 for sure.
But, like, you have, like, these four brooding, dressed all in black, like, edge boys, and then they ride up the Hammerhead, and there's this engineer mechanic who is dressed in the most ungodly way possible, especially for a mechanic. And she moves in ways that, like, don't make sense.
It's so strange because, like, if she owned her own, like, sexuality, I think that'd be... I would respect that more as a character choice.
It's just so cringeworthy.
It really is. So for people who haven't played it, Cindy is the daughter of Cid, Little throwback to the series overall. Sid's an engineer, and he's like the most old, cranky, laziest version of Sid. I think there's been.
Sid without a purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So you finish pushing the car to Cindy's garage, and Cindy is this blonde, cleavage showing, thong wearing mechanic who fixes your car for you. And to just see, like, hey, you're playing as these four guys, and this is the first woman you come across, it is not a great message, I don't think.
And if they ever wanted to make me believe that these guys are straight, they never comment on it. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Prompto's really going for
it.
Trying
hard.
Right.
Yeah. But it just, tonally, she doesn't fit with the game. It's a terrible depiction of women, especially when one of the first times you get to... Iris, her name's not Iris, her name's Iris. She says, yeah, women do all the work in this town. We keep this town afloat, but you never see them. You just never see them. It's very odd.
They're neither seen nor heard also.
Yeah. And Tabata was challenged on this like a year ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, eh. So I'm just like, man, you know what? If she wasn't in the game, I'd probably have a much more positive outlook, but it keeps pulling me out of the experience, and I can't fully embrace the game knowing that she's in it.
And she is an integral part to the game, too.
Yeah, they just keep trying to shove her down your throat.
Right. I also think that, like, if you ran into her two-thirds of the way through the game, maybe wouldn't be as big of a deal.
Fine. Because there might presumably be better depictions of women.
Yeah, right, exactly. have you gone on the weird date with, what is it, Claudiolus's sister?
Oh, where she just, like, walks you
around town?
Yeah, so, why don't you tell us what that is all about?
So that's, you meet up with, I can't remember her name, but
Iris.
Yes, it is Iris. She's, like, a more moderately dressed young woman. It seems like your families might have grown up together or something like that.
Kind of looks like a mature Yiffie.
Yes, yeah. And you arrive in this town. You guys are, like, exiles now. You're hiding out from the Empire.
And everyone's like, hey, Prince.
Yes, yeah. It's I can't tell if it's, like, you're in this countryside where everyone's still loyal to you or something, or seemingly just everyone hates the Empire. I think that's the vibe I'm getting. But... you get this, and I got it, like, this vibe that, like, you know, she asks you if she can show you around the city, and it instantly feels like a date.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which is another thing we should probably mention, there are dialogue wheels in this Final Fantasy game.
Very interesting selections in the dialogue wheels.
With, which is new to the series, never had that before, and... she takes you all around, and the basic choices you have to make are be a kind, respectable human being to her, or shut her down at every possible chance. But at the same time, like, if I'm going on this weird unplanned date with this woman, and if we're given the illusion of freedom, like, why not let me, like, make out with this girl or whatever? Like, or, I mean, if we're funneling me down the Luna Freya path, then I think that's one thing, but I don't know. It felt weird to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I get the feeling that Noctis doesn't really know what he wants.
Also, it is surprising that so many women are into Noctis.
Yeah. Cause just a plank of wood has more personality.
I was
going to
say,
like, at least go for Gladiolus, big old chesty dude. Go for him. That makes sense. But, like, Noctis just sits in the back and whatever.
Scrawny. Yeah.
It's interesting. One of the dialogue choices is seem interested or don't seem interested. And
a sociopath. Yeah.
I really had to ponder, like, do I lead her on? Because if it was seem interested, like, you're not actually interested.
Right.
And then later on she says, like, oh, this was kind of like a date. And it's like a hangman's gambit or something. I don't know what's going on.
It's almost like your options could just be like, listen to what this woman has to say or don't.
Empathize, hate, build the wall. Like, those are the three choices that you get.
But I've also noticed that that's the disparity of choices throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not shades of gray. It's like good option, seemingly bad option that you might not even see any consequences towards.
Yeah, it's interesting that Final Fantasy even wants to move into that. It's like It's like they saw The Witcher in Dragon Age Inquisition. We're like, oh, we should do some of that,
right,
but not turn ourselves over to it. Just really a weird design choice.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the dialogue wheel that's actually has like a important consequence, but I've also, we've never seen a Final Fantasy game before where you can make a choice that like irrevocably changes the world, right?
Yeah, well,
I can't think of anything.
It's definitely... Like in Final Fantasy VI, if you didn't go back for Shadow would, or his dog,
sure,
the dog would die. But it wasn't something that you knew that you were doing.
Yeah.
But I think we've grown accustomed to like doing the Paragon or Renegade path, and
yeah,
there's no sort of system in this game.
No.
It's just, what does your Noctis do in this situation?
Yeah. Meh. I can't tell if there's like a morality system at all or anything. It doesn't seem like it.
I feel like we would have heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Florence and the Machine would have sung a song about morality or something. And
you get plus 1 points for saying seems interested.
It's like I was listening to the album. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I'm just thinking that Stand By Me now.
So it's a shame that Kellen and Clayton are not here, because this game reminds me an awful lot of another game.
What's that?
Destiny.
Really?
Yes.
Because so, of the hunts?
A lot of hunts, a lot of quests, and a lot of like doing the same task over and over again.
Yeah.
That isn't necessarily difficult, but the combat's so much fun. I really love,
yeah,
the combat system, even though sometimes I don't really know what's going on. But
there's some
life.
Times where I feel really good at this combat, yeah, system. The next battle, ugh, Jesus.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like weird absurdities.
Yeah.
Like Prompto is so weak. But then once you upgrade him, he's suddenly like the most powerful person. But a lot of the quest management system stuff reminds me of Destiny, like turning stuff in, sleeping at inns to get more experience, like constantly leveling up something. It seems to have its hooks in me in the same way that early Destiny did.
Sure.
It's not. I think that was accidental, though. I don't know that they meant to do that. I think they just said, we're throwing in all the systems.
Yeah.
Who cares? But it reminds me of that quite a bit.
Yeah, I get that. I also like, how do you feel as far as the quality of side quests? And I know that like we all see side quests as just like drive to this place, pick up this thing, drive back. And there's a lot of that.
There's a lot. Like Noctis is apparently like a courier for a farm, for like
things that a prince doesn't normally do.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a great quest in the beginning of the game where you have to feed a cat. And
great one.
It made me so happy.
Yeah.
Because this cat's a dick. This cat's like, give me food. Then you fish, and the cat's like, no, cook it, asshole. So then you have to like go have somebody make you a plate, and if it's not the right plate, the cat's like, do it again.
Yeah. I also can't tell if like the side quests and all the hunts and stuff are just, it's like a less subtle padding for a shorter single-player campaign.
I've heard people say that they finished this in like 30 hours,
right,
which is insane for a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
But I mean, it, you know, I guess it's up to you then of like how deep do you want to go into this game?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you can walk in any direction, which is cool. Not on like a Skyrim,
mm-hmm,
or something like that. And you'll find something like not long into the game. I don't know if you experienced this. I found this mine shaft.
It's terrifying.
Yes. And you go down and there's this level 50 guy at the bottom,
yeah,
that you're nowhere near powerful enough to fight. But I think that was a great design choice to put that there,
because mm-hmm,
you were like,
you'll come back.
Exactly.
Oh, you'll be back. My girlfriend found that on her playthrough, and I was like, where the fuck are you? And she said, like, very quietly, don't worry about it. Like, it's like, what? It's cool to see that everybody's game so far has been shades of a different path.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the game ever tries to make us be put in Noctis' shoes or relate to him on any level, but the experience of playing is still very different for everybody,
yeah,
that's gone into it. I think there's going to be people that grind out all the side quests like me and level up as soon as possible, and there's other people that will just like sprint through the game.
Yeah. I see, that's funny, because I felt bad as though I wasn't experiencing the game enough and just doing side quests and leveling up too much, but you are further along in that stuff than I am at this point.
It's easy. It's just
fun too,
especially,
yeah,
when you can fast travel.
Yeah.
Once you discover an outpost, you can fast travel there for your reward and
right,
just stack it. It's I really felt like I was gaming the system until I saw other people doing it, and I'm like, oh, that's fine, yeah. I guess.
There was even a point where Gladiolus, like, did you have this? He, like, you're driving around doing side quests.
And he stops you, and
he stops,
like,
and he's like,
can we go see my
sister?
My sister
might be in danger right now.
Yeah. And you're like, no, don't worry about it.
I have, you know what? I have groceries to deliver to this diner. That's much more important than
this guy's car broke down, okay? I have to make sure that his cargo gets back to him. Cindy needs grease. Like, it's really, it doesn't make any sense.
I really, part of me was like, oh, I hope I, like, lose some morality points with him or something like that. It's like, no, nope, nothing like that.
Well, because you've been bros.
Yeah, right.
His backstory is really weird. So he was training Noctis how to be a fighter. And, like, Iris as a young girl, I guess this is, like, where that storyline started. Iris as a young girl goes to see her brother at Noctis's prince camp, whatever. Prince camp, fine. And she ends up getting lost. Noctis finds her and, like, returns her. And the king's like, what the hell were you doing? Like, why didn't you look after your sister? Like, what's going on? And Noctis says, oh, I invited her to come with me and covers for Gladiolus's mistake. So that's how Gladiolus, like, kind of says, oh, this guy's all right. I'm going to be his friend.
Sure.
Yeah, so, like, Ignis and Gladiolus have, like, okay backstories, but Prompto is legitimately, I'm too fat to talk to him. I have to go on a diet.
Oh,
it's really
God.
Cute. It's really cute, but it's the most Japanese thing ever.
Right.
Oh, it's terrible.
God forbid he be fat in this game.
Can you imagine if, like, a giant pudger was, like,
I would
going
have to return
the
this game immediately if there was some fatso.
Three beautiful boys and one chubby man. And he just happens to be, like, the most enthusiastic. Story of my life.
Aaron, is there anything we haven't covered?
What
do we need to warn people about or get them excited about with this game?
Well, one thing I don't think we've covered is, like, I don't yet know who, like, I
the
think
bad
we've
guy
seen
is?
Yeah, I think we've seen, like, sub bosses, but we don't know who the villain is.
I agree with you on that one. There was one that I thought was the villain and then maybe not. You're right. There's no Sephiroth at this point.
And it's hard cuz, like, I know I'll get a lot of shit for this, but, like, you had Kefka, you had Sephiroth.
Big monster named Sin. You kind of get it.
Yeah, and, like, even though Edea wasn't, like, an amazing villain, she was very prominently the villain.
Yeah.
And, like, Kuja, very prominently the villain.
Yeah.
And Tenet was like, a wave. Water is the villain.
The passage of time, mortality. I don't know.
Very introspective game. But, yeah, I don't think we've – there's no big bad, so I don't know how powerful my people are in comparison to whoever else is there.
Yeah. Having just – I think you'll enjoy these summon fights or summon experiences, whatever you want to call them, because it really – I don't – if you think of that it in that way of, like, power levels and stuff like that, like – I don't know what three human beings could do in comparison to these things. Anyways, should people watch the ancillary material before they start playing?
Yeah, and if you can, you should.
Yeah,
I mean, if you get the deluxe edition of the game, it comes with Kingsglaive. Brotherhood, you can watch online
on
for
YouTube.
Free.
Kingsglaive has Breaking Bad's Aaron Paul.
Yes, it has Game of Thrones' Lena Headey.
That's right,
and GoldenEye's Sean Bean.
Oh, is that what we call Sean Bean from? Is that his main credit?
I mean, I guess you could also say anything's Sean
Bean? Silent Hill.
Silent Hill.
Yeah, that's his
in
big
Silent
credit.
Hill 2. I forgot. That's what he's known for.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I think that you should watch it. Of note, I've been playing on a PS4 Pro, and my girlfriend has a regular PS4. And the frame rate is just way better on a Pro.
Really? So is it worth it to get a Pro?
I
can't make that call yet.
No, I mean, I got a Pro because my system was kind of dying, and I wanted to upgrade a bunch of stuff, so I got a new hard drive and I got the Pro. But going back and forth between them, it's just way smoother on the Pro. And it doesn't improve the gameplay, but it's nicer, whatever.
Do you have a PlayStation VR or anything?
I
like
do.
That? Okay.
And playing the VR with Final Fantasy 15 is something it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad. The announcement trailer for the PSVR stuff with Final Fantasy 15 was so bad, I have to play it.
Okay.
But that's also me being a fanboy.
Sure.
It's going to be real bad.
Yeah, because that would be the one thing. Like, if there started to be these experiences, like VR PlayStation experiences, are like, you got to play it. But I feel like I haven't heard those yet.
I got mine for the whatever retail price it was.
Yeah.
And I got like 5 games with it. I really like it, mm-hmm. but it's also the kind of thing where I can play Destiny, Final Fantasy, whatever for 10, 15 minutes at a time. For PSVR, it's like I need to have a solid 2 hours. but I really like it. I got it to play Star Trek Bridge Crew, which was just delayed 4 months.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling pretty good about my investment.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Aaron, thank you for joining us.
Tim, thank you for having me.
And by say us, I mean me and these guys who could not bother to see you off.
You make it sound like I'm leaving. I'm getting on a plane. I'm leaving forever.
Hey, Aaron, if people want to find you somewhere else on the internet, where can they find you?
You can go to just Google versus the universe. We are a performance collective, as the Nerdalogs, Eric Garneau, called us once, and it's always stuck with me. Just started a brand new project called the Cooperatives Podcast. My girlfriend and I play board games, video games that are cooperative, not competitive, and then we talk about how good they are and what we learned about dating by playing games.
If they drove you closer together or further apart, perhaps.
There's been some of both. There's been some of both. We played Secret Hitler for about 5 hours straight.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that is a rough one.
My girlfriend got pretty mad at me when I let two people in Until Dawn die.
You know, I want to cover that one because the way I play it is cooperative.
Yeah.
But there's some strict parameters. It's tough. Until Dawn. What great game.
Great game. Ugh. Was not expecting it.
No. It should have been bad.
Have you played it more than once?
Yeah.
How is it on the second and third playthrough?
So we played it the first time. There were 6 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever it was a different character, we passed the controller. The second time we played it, it was 2 people came back and then about 4 other people playing. Mm-hmm. So we knew it happened, but no one else did. So it was very cool to watch them make choices knowing what would happen.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to do like a stream next year to raise money, just play that game.
Yeah.
And assign everybody a character. So like if
you're Mr. Robot.
Yeah, just something.
You're the guy from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And like take bets on who will die and stuff like that. Man, I love that game. It's such a good party game.
Yeah. And they're making a sequel, right?
I believe Sony, they sent out a survey about a sequel, but it won't be Supermassive Games making it.
Okay, gotcha.
They want to do multi-platform games, but Sony owns that IP.
Yeah.
Which, it's going to be weird.
Sure.
It's going to be really weird.
But I think that game just hit home for me, like, if you have a cool hook for your game, it doesn't have to be 60 hours, you know? That was the perfect amount of time for that game. Aaron, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases. We're going to put this in post.
In post? Just,
yeah.
That's great.
Ha ha ha!
What a witticism, Kellen.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today. And go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.